I'm going to start with a very interesting introduction that you'll see up there. You might recognize that lady. And some people say to me, you know, I'm one of these people, they say, well, I've seen you before somewhere, but I don't know where. How many people here have ever seen Dragon's Den? Well, some of you. Sometimes I feel as if I'm in the den. I was once. I just want you to have a look at this little introduction. So I was in the den for about an hour, and I got, I don't know, what was it, about 90 seconds on TV. But one of the great things was I had the opportunity to pray for Duncan Bannatyne on set with microphones up. And what you don't see in a den is the whole of the video crew and the camera production people and all that's around you, you know. And a little spiel when you get up. Peter said to me, he said, what makes you a reverend? And I said, well, I've been ordained. And as I said that, Duncan over this side, you know where they all sit, Duncan said to me, I'm not feeling very well. Will you pray for me? And my instant thought was, you've got to be joking, you know. And then Peter says, oh, he hasn't been feeling very well all day. And Duncan said in a louder voice now, speaking, I'm not feeling very well. Will you pray for me? So I said, yeah, I'll pray for you if I can do as I would do in church and not here on this spot. And he said, yeah, do whatever you want. So I walked over to him and I walked over to his seat and I put my arm around him and I said, Heavenly Father, I just pray for Duncan that you will heal him now and allow him to continue to do the good work that he's doing. I walked back to my spot and Peter said to him, how are you feeling? And the Holy Spirit had just got him because he just said, I feel fantastic, he said. And I didn't care about the money. All I'm doing, my company was called, it's called 316 UK Limited. And I use that because I just love to give people the opportunity to hear about Jesus. And I want people to question me. And the chance of that, I mean, I had I was in the den for an hour and whatever it was, the video people were coming up to me, the camera people were coming up to me, the bloke in the editing room was coming up to me. He said, what happened? What happened to Duncan? And you know, I let you into a secret today that I'm sure some people in the church have forgotten. God is supernatural. Just want to reaffirm that. God is supernatural. When something happens in our lives, we need to remember that God is supernatural. This is my topic, which is great. It was given to me, God with us, Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23. You can remember that one. Matthew 1:23. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's have a look at the next slide so we can look at what it actually says up there. And it says, therefore, the Lord himself, if you've got a Bible, Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Now, I wanted to look at a little bit of history, and as history is not my favorite subject, but his story is. His story. That whenever I think of history, I think his story is involved in it somewhere, because Jesus was right there at the beginning. But I pinched this bit from Nicky Gumbel, the bit I'm going to talk about. If you've ever heard of Nicky Gumbel, I'm sure you have. I do his Bible in a year, and it's a real great thing to do if you get a chance to do it. And looking a bit before Isaiah, in Isaiah 5, remember this is 740 years before Christ. All right, seven thereabouts, give or take, plus or minus. But as we look around the world today, we see many nations, including Syria, Iraq, Ukraine, Zimbabwe. And this, the description in the passage here, that looking just before this, is a passage of a nation in strife with injustice. The leaders grabble the land, evicting the old owners, taking over the country, leaving everyone homeless and landless. Those extravagant estates will be deserted. And it says in the message, a 10-acre vineyard will produce only a pint of wine. Meanwhile, the leaders make sure their banquets are well furnished with music thirst. Their leaders call evil good and good evil. That's in verse 8. 22 message. But what authority does Isaiah have to speak to the society in this way? During a dark period of Israel's history, God called him. He described the vision that he had around 740 BC. His majesty, his holiness, his glory, his power. The key words is, I saw the Lord. And the key to his call was not just a nice experience, but it was a life-changing encounter. And what I want to say to you this morning is, have you had this life-changing encounter? Encounter with God in the year, a little bit after this date, 1988. I had an encounter with God. Do you know what? When you have an encounter with God, you don't forget it. I remember saying to someone once, you know, are you born again? They said, I'm not sure. And I said, are you married? And he said, well, yes. I said, well, you knew that. Just a point. Anyway, where were we? So Isaiah, he was cleansed. Isaiah saw the holiness of God and said, woe to me, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among, I've seen the King, the Lord Almighty. The closer you are to the light, the more it reveals your sin. And that was for me when I had the encounter with God. I suddenly saw how unholy and unrighteous I was. Although I'd been to church all my life, brought up in the Anglican church, and I'd been going to church, but when I encountered God, man, I saw the rubbish in me. And there was a word which is often dropped today in churches, which is repentance. And I can remember crying like a child. And I was a dairy farmer, and a 32-year-old dairy farmer crying like a child is not a pretty sight. But I tell you who was really delighted about it. And that was my dad up there. He rejoiced. And he went, about time too. And just with Isaiah, and God takes the initiative and provides a means of cleansing. Look, this coal, your guilt, your sins are wiped away. And that's so it is when we come to Jesus Christ and we accept him as our Lord and Savior and we accept the power of the cross, our sins are wiped away. They are as if they didn't happen. Praise God. And that's what we need to believe in, and that's what we need to live with. It is through the cross of Christ. We don't have to go around laden down with guilt from what we have done, because Jesus takes them all away. And then Isaiah was challenged, what are you going to say? Because Isaiah said, I'll go. And you know, the gospel ends in Matthew 28, where it says, go into all the world. And I struggle with the church quite often, because what is it we don't understand about the word go? You know, what is it we don't understand about it? Is it too big for us? You know, we can't even split it down into syllables. And go isn't necessarily, you know, I've been to many foreign countries preaching the gospel, and I love it. But go is actually to your neighbor. It is just to be able that he can see something in you, the light of God. See, some people say, I'm trying to think of the person that said, you know, go, you preach the gospel wherever you go, and if necessary, use words. Who was it said that? He never said that, you know. No. He never said that. You can't preach the gospel without words. We need words. We need to speak out the truth. We need a testimony of what God has done in our lives. So somehow, even if we have to use Dragon's Den, we bring people in to our lives somehow. Isaiah, he saw a desperate need. There is a desperate need out there. What drove me to plant a church in St. Ives and one in Launceston and one in Bodmin was a desperate need that I see a lost people. Isaiah reported, here am I, send me. God used him greatly. But then Isaiah came out and he prophesied this thing. He said, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. And we'll call him Emmanuel. Now, this had two fulfillments. Now, this is a bit of news to me, and it might be to you. You know, first, there was The first fulfillment came in Isaiah 8:1. The birth, the Estorhash-bash. I've probably said that completely wrong, but none of you are going to worry too much about that. Meaning, quickly to the plunder, which is a reference to the impending plunder of Samaria and Damascus by the king of Assyria. Now, you can look that all up at home and say, well, what does that mean? But, of course, the ultimate fulfillment of that prophecy was in Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, who is God with us. Now, I'm just going to look now at a bit, what does it mean, this Emmanuel, God with us? This powerful God who wants to be with us. And it's repeated, you know, if you read the New Testament, you all know this, I'm sure, that all Bibles, or most of them, have written in bold what was pre-written in the Old Testament. Someone said to me once, he was at MIT, and he stood up and he said in one of his first sermons, he said, of course, we're New Testament Christians. And I said to him after, why are we New Testament Christians? Do you know the early church didn't have the New Testament? We can't call ourselves New Testament Christians. We are Christians. And we believe in the whole of the Bible from Genesis right through to Revelation. So just quickly to the next slide. There's a man called Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, this is early in the New Testament, but here the Holy Spirit is on someone before the day of Pentecost. Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on to certain people for certain things and to proclaim certain messages. And here Simeon is seeing something that was proclaimed that he knew he was going to see. And in the, because I'm a born-again Anglican, this, if any Anglicans here who were Anglicans, and this is what they call the Nunc Dimittis in the Anglican Church. Now, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So God, being with us, came via the birth of a baby through a virgin. Now, many see this and many see that little picture of a baby in a stable, and you know, I was a dairy farmer. For those that didn't know, I was a dairy farmer. I grew up on a dairy farm, and I became a dairy farmer. I farmed in Canada and farmed in St. Ives. But if anyone thinks that a manger is a nice place, okay, because what you find in a manger, apart from rat droppings, all right, is cow saliva. And all sorts of nasty, horrible things. You know, bugs and viruses and all the, you know, the last thing, believe me, ladies, is you don't want to have a baby in a manger. But the King of Heaven decided that that's the place where he is going to go. We'll go to that next slide. So many see but don't know him. Many see but don't know him. How do you know someone? How do you really, I mean, Sally, like I said, would love to have been here. Sally knows me. You know, you live in with someone that long, we know each other. But how well do you know God? God knows you. He knows everything about us. We try to run away from God sometimes. I got a call into ministry, and I thought, I'm going to Canada, and we'll farm over there. God won't find me over there. But you know what? He followed me. But God with us, how well do you know him? That's a picture of my dog. Well, it was my dog, and she died. I had to hold her while they put her down. Anyone that's had a puppy or a dog, she was 8 years old, came with me everything I did. She came in my van to work with me every day. She traveled miles with me. If I went into someone's house, she was there behind me. When I walked out of the house, she was there beside me. When I jumped into my car, if I was going to jump in the car, she'd run up to the car and say, well, I want to come at least in the boot, even if you aren't going to take me out the other side. She was there right through. She was loyal. I knew that dog, and the dog was loyal to me. And that is how God follows with someone in a relationship. How do you know them? What's your loyalty and your trust? I tell you, that dog was unbelievably loyal. They instinctively know how you feel. Not the dog, but your wife when someone says something, or someone who's close to you. And God knows us in that way. You see, how are you feeling today, Pastor? Oh, I'm fine. God says, you're not fine at all. You're struggling. You're hurting. You're aching. Why can't we be honest? Why can't we be honest in church with those people we love? Because we don't 100% trust them, because we've heard how they've spoken about someone else. And God wants to be with us. Emmanuel. God with us. God is with me. He understands me. He can identify with me. He can sympathize with my hurts, my weaknesses and my fears. He is with me. He loves me. From the very beginning, he loves me. And not just a fleshy love. He loves me. I don't think we believe really how much God loves us. Because however much you love your pet, your dog, your wife, your husband, it's beyond that. He loves us. Would I sacrifice my son for you? He did. That's real love. Many see but don't know him. Who are you with? God is with us in the beginning. In the beginning, before the birth of Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. And the Word was with God, and the Word, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And today we live in a society where so many truths, well, if you want to believe that, that's fine. But that's what you believe. But I believe this. No. There is only one truth, and there's only one person that has ever claimed to actually be the truth. Jesus Christ. He is the truth. You might want to rationalize and tell your person that believes something different, but he is the truth. You can't get away from it. God with us. And John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Just like me. What a God. What a Savior. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Some people say, oh, I don't want eternal life. This life's bad enough. If this life is bad enough, you haven't tasted what God has seen. You see, some people say, well, when you're born again, you know, when that happens, eternal life has begun. My eternal life began in April 1988 when I asked Jesus Christ me. And I'm already seated in heavenly places. I see myself there. Because if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you'll follow him. Take your eyes off him and you'll wander. Eternal life begins the day we ask Jesus into our life and we surrender all. And I'm afraid Christians have that habit of singing that song but never really doing it. I surrender all, I surrender all. And then the collection plate comes along and we can't surrender much at all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. My favorite Bible verse, hence the company is called 3:16. He gave his only son, but have everlasting life, eternal life. And believing, you see, believe, the church has forgotten, some of us have forgotten what believe means. If you believe something in the Bible, what they meant was you did it. If you believed you could walk on water, you walked on water. If you believe that Jesus is the healer, you're going to go to him for your healing. That doesn't mean to say everyone's going to be healed, but in faith we step forward. We go, you know, you said about prayer, I keep asking for prayer, fantastic. When I was first born again, I stood at the, I would be at the front of the church, because I always used to think the anointing was at the front. Forgive me, those are sitting at the back. I used to think the anointing was at the front, and when the end come, when the service came to an end, and they said, anyone want to come for prayer? I'd think of something, I had to get up there and get a prayer. Because if God had something for me, the last thing I wanted to do was go home without having something that I think God had for me. And man, he used to keep giving me things. I am so glad that I went forward for prayer. Whereas we think, well, I don't know what my brother, sister, cousin, uncle, niece, nephew, person next to me will think if I go up. I don't give a monkey's what anyone thinks. I care what he thinks. And that's what we got to start living like. Thinking what he thinks. You see, many see, but they don't know him. Who are you really with? 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He is for 32 years and didn't see who Jesus was. Can you imagine? My daughter, who is here now, I see at the back, but for a couple of years, where there was a Baptist minister there, who was just great. We used to go, because we were Anglicans at that time, but we used to go in the evenings for a bit of life. Into the Baptist church. And I went into the Baptist church, and the Baptist minister, he came to me and he said, John, God has got a call on your life. Now, this bloke had the church was about 8,000 people in this town, and about 800 of them went to this church. And not all at once, but I mean, there was a lot of, you know, there'd be 300 there on a Sunday morning. And he came to me and he said, God has got a call on your life, and I would like to give you 1 hour a week of personal Bible study in the middle of on a Tuesday lunchtime. Yeah? Man, it blew me away. But Anna wanted to go to a Bible camp. We were a dairy farm in Stanley Line, we're a Bible camp, and there was a Bird River Bible camp. And Anna went down to this Bible camp, and we were so busy on the farm, Sound like said, she said, can I go to a Bible camp? Sounded good to us. So she went down to the Bible camp, and I picked her up after, she was there a week. And we picked her up, I think it was a Saturday, it might have been a Sunday, I can't remember, but she got into the car, in the back of the car, and I could see she was beaming. And Anna wasn't someone that used to beam a lot, but she was beaming. And she jumped in the car, and she had a Bible. I said, what you got there? She said, oh, friend gave me a Bible. She said, I gave my life to Jesus this week at the Bible camp. And Sally went, well, that's fantastic. Well done, Anna. Yeah, that's great. And then she spoke words that I've never forgotten and I never will ever forget. She said, and she looked at me like this. She said, Dad, why didn't you tell me I had to make a decision myself? Well, no one told me that. So I have a lot to be thankful for the Baptist church. But I sat in church for all those years, but I hadn't, because the God, the small g, had blinded my eyes. The devil had stopped me from seeing the fullness of the gospel. And we need to take that on board ourselves. We've all, some of us have seen this, Jesus in me. How many of you know that thing? Jesus in me, people say Jesus in me. And it's something I don't agree with. Yes, the DNA of Jesus is in me. I have his blood running through my veins. His DNA is in me. But Jesus is seated, in my Bible anyway. In my Bible, it says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. And he left this world. For we confess, what we confess is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. He was taken up from us. If you've got Jesus in you and you've got all of him, no one else has got any of him. But because he went to heaven and he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is everyone, and in everyone who is a Christian has the Spirit of God. everyone that has is a Christian has a deposit, but some of us haven't. We've got the pilot light. He is taken up in glory. Did you know? In 1 Corinthians 3:16, we've had a lot of 3:16s, I notice, in this talk today. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you? That is an amazing thing. The Spirit of the living God with us. God is with us by the power of His Holy Spirit. And you'll never be able to say Emmanuel again without thinking about the Holy Spirit reigns in me. How do you see this picture? Are you keeping God in a box? Be honest with yourselves. Are you keeping God in a box for when you speak to your Christian friends or your church-going friends or with when you're out in different places and someone starts telling you a story or a joke and you listen and you partake, and we've got God in a box. He's in the box that when we go to church, we take Him out. Or do you see this picture of gifts? And He's got these gifts and they're waiting for you. And I tell you, folks, I am someone, that's why I used to come up for prayer. When I get to heaven, I don't want God to show me into what's behind that door, John? There's all the gifts I had for you that I wanted to give you on earth, but you just didn't want them. Have a look at the door and open. No, because there's so many in there, you can't open the door. God has gifts for you. He has amazing gifts for the church. So the church may proclaim the goodness of God to all creation. Because the Bible says that God wants none to perish, and that's what drives me every day to do anything for God. I can't think it. And if it breaks my heart, I dare you to pray a prayer. I prayed a prayer because I couldn't understand why some people had such a passion for Jesus. And I prayed the prayer really sincerely. I said, Lord, I want you to break my heart with what breaks yours. I didn't expect Him to answer it quite the way He did. Because He doesn't want that anyone should be lost. What are the gifts? Just some of them. Administration, hospitality, leadership, discernment, knowledge, healing, service, mercy, miracles, helps, exhortation, faith, prophecy, tongues, giving. And so many people are afraid to ask because they're afraid of what God might give them. I tell you, folks, the Bible says He will only give you good gifts to encourage you and to build your church. So many people are afraid of God because it might give us, He might give me tongues. Oh my goodness, what would I do if He gave me tongues? You would rejoice because He has given it to you. And He's supernatural. God with us. As we bring this little plane down to land, it's a term that ministers use when they think you might be getting had enough. We've all sung this Christmas songs. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord, Emmanuel. How many people have ever sung that song before? Lots. How many people have personalized it to themselves? Let's make it personal. Let's pray this through together. You haven't even seen it, can you? You didn't see that list? I saw it. There it is. Have a quick look. Which one of them is for you? You knew that, so I didn't have to worry about that one. But what about making it personal? I want you to pray this through. Read it, pray it through. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, who is that? Jesus Christ. Descend to me today. Descend to me by the power of your Holy Spirit. Descend to me today, I pray. Cast out my sin. Because anyone that says they have no sin, the Bible says, are deceiving themselves and the truth is not in them. We have all sinned. We have all messed up. We all fall short of the glory of God. Be born in me today. I want to hear the Christmas angels. I see other people and they say, wow, angels visited me. I heard these. And I go, oh, I've never heard an angel in my life. And Sally hits me. No. I want to hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to me. Abide with me, my Lord. My Lord. My Lord. Emmanuel. Give you the opportunity to receive from God today. He has his hands waiting for you to come and receive. For some, you may have been going to church for years, but you may never have actually asked Jesus to come right in here, here and now. Give your life over to Jesus. He is waiting. He's calling. He's calling you. And how do you know if he's calling you at this minute? It's because your chest just is about to explode. I remember being there and my goodness, my heart wouldn't stop. Well, I'm glad it didn't. So he might be calling you to that. The other is, you know, someone said the other day, it made me chuckle because we pastors all tend to do it, you know, eyes closed, no eyes open. You know, everyone heads up. I want to do it this way. I want to say all eyes open, heads up, looking around. Because if you can't be actually seen on this earth, you're never going to be seen in heaven. So don't ever be afraid of coming forward for prayer. All right? If you want a prayer to receive some of the gifts of God, come forward. We'll lay hands on you, which is very scriptural and all open and all what it says in the Bible. We'd love to lay hands on you. And you can come and receive from him. I've got nothing for you. If someone here has got an ear problem today because God often does this to me. I get a twinge or a pain or something when someone else has got a problem, which is silly, I think. He's supernatural. So there might be someone today who's got a problem in their ear, this ear, that, well, not this ear, but your ear on the left-hand side. And so if you want to come and receive prayer for a hearing thing, I believe God wants to open someone's ear today. And if you want healing in anything, I just pray that you have the courage to come forward and receive from him a gift that he's been waiting to give you.